It's good to be with you again today. For these 8 days together, including tomorrow, we are uncovering in the Bible this reality: God is merciful. We began this discussion on Wednesday last week, June 13th, and we'll conclude tomorrow. If you missed any of these broadcasts and want to get caught up or listen to them again, here's what you can do. Type in www.590amtheword.com into your web browser, and when the homepage for WEZE appears, just click the link at the top of the page marked podcast. You'll see God is there, and you can download and listen for free to the entire series. And again, we started this last Wednesday, June 13th. I encourage you to share these free broadcasts with anyone you know in need of the marvelous mercy of God. Let's be merciful as God is merciful, and let's come alongside people in our lives who are struggling and encourage them. Let's introduce them to our loving, compassionate, and merciful God, the only God. Be an encouragement to someone today. As we come near the end of our discussion on the mercy of God, I want to take you a bit further into the scriptures and the life and teaching of Jesus to again see that mercy is in the heart of God. And here is another parable, one that you are likely somewhat familiar with. It's the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the lost son. Jesus tells this parable in Luke chapter 15. So that you understand context, I want to read the first half of the parable to you now. This is the part about the prodigal lost son. I will not read the second half about how his older brother reacted. While that is very important and also has a lot to teach us, my focus today is on the nature of the relationship between the father and the younger son. If you have your Bible handy, turn to Luke chapter 15 and we'll start at verse 11, and I will read down to verse 24. This is a remarkable story. And Jesus said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of my estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate." That's Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. And the parable of the prodigal, the lost son. Now this parable, unlike most of Jesus' parables, has more than one point of instruction for us. But I believe the main point is this: the absolute joy God feels, the jubilation that rings out in heaven when one person repents of sin by having faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. If you'll read all of Luke chapter 15, you will read three parables of Jesus, and this is the main point of all three: the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son. What has been lost is found, and heaven rejoices. Do you feel lost in life today? Then I'm glad you are here, because this parable is for you. This parable will give you something precious: hope. And here is what I most want you to see. Jesus means for the father in the parable to represent God. When Jesus speaks of the father, he is speaking of God, our heavenly father. And the sun here represents lost people who are consumed with sin and are down and out, coming to the end of themselves. This sun is descriptive of so many of us. By understanding just two words, we will learn how this young man got himself into this predicament of getting plopped down in the pig pen. Now, these words are loose living in verse 13. I'll reread that verse for you. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. That's Luke chapter 15, verse 13. Now, we have to be careful with this little word loose. We sort of know what living means. Think of it this way, lifestyle. The boy's lifestyle was loose. But in English, when we say that someone has a loose lifestyle, do we know what we actually mean? This could well mean different things to different people, but it doesn't really matter what we think it means. What does Jesus mean by it? And the Greek word here for loose means prodigal living. Aha! Did you know this is where we get the word prodigal from? I have found that, shockingly, people that have heard this parable most of their lives rarely know that. Loose in Greek means a prodigal way of living, but that still doesn't help us much because we need to know then what prodigal means. So let's now feel the full brunt of loose living. It's this: extravagant debauchery. It's excessive amounts of sex, alcohol, and drugs. It's living an extravagantly wasteful life. Back when I was a business person in Hong Kong, I used to observe this when I'd go out for dinner and to socialize with clients. All around me would be people engaged in an extravagantly wasteful night out. Hong Kong is a city with many successful and wealthy business people, and the investment bankers among them are typically young with too much money. That's often a very bad combination. Money without maturity. They were eagerly participating in excessive amounts of drinking, and that often led to sex, usually of the one-night stand variety. Sadly, I'd often hear how these same men and women became addicted to alcohol, sex, and even drugs down the line of their lives. Well, that is what happened to the son in Jesus' story. He squandered his estate, his inheritance, in loose living. This was his lifestyle. But in verse 14, the Bible tells us then that a severe famine hit, and the son became impoverished. All the money is gone. It was wasted, and now he's plopped down in the pig pen. It reminds me of what happened during the Asian financial crisis in 1997, when many of these young bankers and business people I have talked about were fired from their jobs. All their money wasted, they were broken and became desperate. Now, knowing this, let's focus on what the son does and how his father reacts. Remember, the father is God and the son is men and women who have participated in loose living, extravagant sin. In desperation and with no other hope in the whole wide world, the young man decides that he's going to return to his father's estate and beg his forgiveness. Luke 15, verse 18. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. We can tell from the way the story reads that he is not even sure the father will forgive him. In fact, the way Jesus tells it, the son doubts he will be forgiven. Nevertheless, off he goes to begin his approach to his childhood home. But then, really listen to verse 20. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Whoa, what a response. Before the son can even get the words, I have sinned, out of his mouth, the father is all over him. The father ran to him. The father embraced him. The father kissed him. Why? Well, here's our key word. The dad felt compassion for him. The Greek word for compassion here is the same word we had in Mark's gospel earlier this week and last week. It's the compassion of the father. It's the mercy of the father that makes him run and embrace and kiss his boy. Verse 24, the father says, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And the father is God and the son is all of us who have ever been lost in loose living. God is merciful. God is merciful. This parable demonstrates this loud and clear. You'd have to really misunderstand this parable to miss the mercy of God. And Jesus is the one who told the parable. So Jesus is clearly teaching that God is a merciful God. There is only one God, and he is this God, the merciful God. This is the truth that we need to hear today. And not only us, but the whole wide world needs to know this truth. You hear it, don't you? God looks on the sinner with compassion. God looks mercifully on us. Psalm chapter 103 and verse 13 says this, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Do you fear God today? Is your lifestyle one of loose living and you're thinking about coming to God or coming back to God? You're desperate, you're down and out, and you have nothing or no one to fall back on. Your sin is pretty awful, and you wonder what God's response to you will be. Well, I hope you will wonder no more. God seeks to save you from your sin. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19. It is God's nature to be merciful and to save sinners from loose living. Listen, for example, to the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. "God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And that, of course, includes women as well. God the Father wants to see you turning to him, and then he will come running to you in his compassion and with his mercy for you, unconstrained. He runs up to you and embraces you and kisses you and says, "Let's celebrate. For this son, this daughter of mine was dead and has come to life again. He or she was lost and has been found." Come home today to the loving embrace of the merciful God. Let the mercy of God transform your life today. And then join me again tomorrow, for God is merciful.